Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back once again to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, last week, we finished up the topic of how to pray, which we found in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. You know, it's actually pretty amazing how many times we let what this world says about things cloud our vision. So, as you think about prayer, sometimes what we think about the world and what the world says about prayer kind of gets in the way of what prayer really is sometimes. And if you happen to miss those last four messages on prayer, I would encourage you to go to our website at www.independencebaptist.org and check out the audio section. From there, you'll be able to listen to all of those prior messages on how to pray. Now, since we finished that topic up about prayer last week, we're going to move forward to another topic in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is this one, proper fasting. Now, in this day and age, fasting, well, it isn't really something we think about much, unless we're about to go to the doctor for some kind of a test or something. But, you know, the Bible does actually talk about fasting, including how to do it and the attitude we should have about fasting. So listen in as Pastor Reynolds continues in Matthew chapter 6.
This morning, we want to speak on the subject of proper fasting. This is found in the book of Matthew 6, verses 16 through verse number 18. This is in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus Christ preaches this very valid point. He says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." This morning, we want to speak about proper fasting. But before we get to that subject, we want to notice one word. The word is "moreover." In the book of Matthew 6 and verse 16, that is the very first word. Christ is using this word, which means "but," or "now," or "then," or "also," or "yet." What he's doing is linking fasting and proper praying and giving alms all together. It is very important to notice that Christ does not want his followers to think that fasting, as they have seen the Pharisees fast, is right or acceptable to God. The Pharisees have made fasting and praying a really big thing. But Christ is more interested in proper praying and in proper fasting and in proper giving alms being directed toward Him, not toward anyone else. You see, proper religious exercise is, in truth, not directed toward anybody except Christ. Certainly, proper religious exercise is not directed toward those that are performing the religious act, right? I mean, we need to worship God. And that is what all religious acts ought to be directed toward, not toward ourselves, as the Pharisees were doing. The Pharisees wanted people to know that they are fasting, or that they're making long prayers, or that they're giving alms. You see, it is one thing for people to know that everything we do is directed toward people, but it is different if we just do what God wants us to do and direct all of our thoughts and all of our actions toward Him and Him alone. It's one thing for people to know that we're religious. But it's another thing altogether if we only have skin-deep religion. You see what I'm saying? It is one thing for people to know that we are really religious, but it is an entirely different thing to just have skin-deep religion. Skin-deep religion was what the Pharisees had. And Jesus Christ did not approve of that at all. And he preached against that in the Sermon on the Mount. People see us, right? And they see what we do. But it is wrong if all they see is our religious part. We are supposed to direct people toward Christ, right? We're not supposed to direct people toward ourselves. Think about this just a second. But which would you rather be? Eternally saved? Or would you rather people think that you were eternally saved? You know what Christ wants his followers to be? Is eternally saved and not appear to be religious when their religion will lead them to hell. Christ wants us to be real, dedicated toward him and his spiritual world, and not dedicated toward just ourselves. When Christ uses the word moreover, he is saying that before a person can act acceptably before God, he must first know how to pray acceptably. And before they learn to pray acceptably, they must learn to give to the poor acceptably. This is what chapter 6 in Matthew is all about. This is very important because fasting is an exercise of the body. And what Christ is saying is that before a person can fast acceptably before God, he must first be able to exercise his spirit. You see, Christ is putting the emphasis upon the most important part, which is spiritual, before he puts any emphasis at all upon the fleshly part. Men are fleshly. Therefore, they naturally put more emphasis upon the fleshly part, erroneously thinking that if they simply please men or draw men to them, then God will accept them. But that is not the way it is. We need to be accepted of God first, and then men will come after us. You see, it is much more important to be able to pray to God before we try to fast. It is much more important to be able to pray to God before we try to worship God in the flesh. That is absolutely the way it is. Men often put the outward part before or ahead of the inward part. But what Christ wants for us is to always put more emphasis upon the inward part, then the outward part will take care of itself. Christ wants his disciples to be spiritual, not fleshly. He wants all of his disciples to be real, not fake or put on. God knows this, that all hypocrites will always put more emphasis upon the outward than the inward. Christ wants people to pay more attention to what is inside than outside. God wants us to be real, not a fake, not a put on. God wants us to be worshipers of him and not seem to be worshipers of something else. This is exactly what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. In Christ's day, these Pharisees and the Sadducees caused the whole nation of Judah to be destroyed by Titus in the year 70 AD. You see, God always looks on the inward part. Men always look on the outward part. The most important part is what God sees. It's what's on the inside, the part that God looks at. It is very important that each child of God pray in secret and let God answer in public. A very good example of how God is able to answer our prayers is found in the book of 2 Kings 18 and 19. In these two chapters, the whole nation of Judah is under attack by the king of Assyria. 2 Kings 18 verse 9 through 11 explains that the nation of Israel, that's the southern part, was taken captive by the king of Assyria. And why did it happen? Notice, the Bible says, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. Israel went under Assyrian captivity simply because they would not listen to the voice of the Lord God, They transgress the covenant of God, and all that Moses and all the servants of God told them to do, they would not listen to them. Don't do that. Hezekiah is the king of Judah, the king of the northern kingdom. And they were also under attack with their captivity just ahead of them. But there is something different about the way that Hezekiah handled the whole situation. The nation of Israel did not listen to God. But the nation of Judah was different altogether. Hezekiah humbled himself before God, and God delivered him, and God delivered his kingdom from bondage. Notice this. In 2 Kings 19, in verse number 1, Hezekiah heard the threats of Assyria against them, and immediately he began to pray. He actually went into the house of God and prayed to Almighty God. The fact is that the Assyrians were much too strong for Judah to overcome. Hezekiah understood that point. Judah as a nation must have help from God if they were to remain free. The battle got closer and closer to becoming a reality when Hezekiah received a letter from Assyria, which told how the Assyrians would take over Judah and completely destroy them. Please notice here that Hezekiah in 2 Kings 19, verse 14 through 19, went and prayed to the Lord. The Bible said, "And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord." That is a great thing to do. Whenever you've got a problem and a trial, a trouble, a tribulation, it's always good to just go to God with that thing. It's always good. God can always answer that. Just trust the Lord. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord in verse 15, and he said, "O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, that hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Lord, open thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent us to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Syria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." Please understand here that Judah knew they were in immediate danger. Hezekiah the king, however, went into the temple of God, and he prayed to God for help instead of gathering all of his armies and all of his defenses together. He would gather his defenses together, and he would make them ready if God told him to, but he would rather obey God than anything else. This is his heart's cry. Immediately, Isaiah the prophet contacted Hezekiah with words of encouragement, which he desperately needed. The king of Assyria had actually confronted God, not just Judah, not just Hezekiah. 2 Kings 19, verse 20 through 34, is the entire prophecy that Isaiah gave. But we want to read today just three or four of these verses. The Bible said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed for to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice, and lifted up thine eyes on high?" And here's the answer. Notice, "Even against the Holy One of Israel, by thy messengers, that has reproached the Lord." That very night, while men slept. The Bible records that the angel of the Lord came into the camp of the Assyrians and killed 185,000 soldiers. The next morning, the king got up and counted them all and knew that something had happened. He did not understand. This man went back home to Assyria, where two of his sons killed him while he was praying and worshiping his false god. This ought to tell us something, that God is the God that we need to pray to, that the sovereign God over this universe, he knows more, he can take care of more than we could ever even think about. This 185,000 soldiers, God killed them all in one night. He sent one angel, and one angel killed 185,000 in one night. God can do the impossible if we just trust him, rely upon him, but don't make a show of it. That's what the scripture is about in Matthew chapter number 6. The Bible says, don't make a show of it, but just trust God. Believe in God. Our hope is not in us. Our hope is in God and in God alone. Now, you might be thinking, prayer does no good at all. You might be thinking, I have prayed before when I faced difficult times and nothing happened to take care of the situation that I was facing. It may have been that God wanted the bad situation that you were in to reach its conclusion. I don't know if you prayed right or you prayed wrong. I don't know. But if you prayed wrong, don't expect God to answer your prayer, because he won't. Read again Matthew 6, verse 5 and verse 6, which states, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." Listen, when you pray, don't make a show of it. Don't do that. God sees more than just your outward expressions. God sees your heart. God wants you to be right before God. He knows all about you. He knows when you were born. He knows when you're going to die. God knows all about the situations and everything in between. And you need to rest in that and distrust God. The Bible said in Matthew 6 and verse number 6, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And there is reward given to those people that make a show of their worshiping God." But the Bible says in verse number 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Christ in this place is saying that hypocrites love to pray so that men see them and men brag on them. Listen, Christ said that if we were ever to have any prayer request answered by God, well, to ask him by entering into our closet, shutting the door, and then praying to him in secret. Now, he's not saying here that public praying is wrong, but he's saying that anytime you pray, you need to sneak off into the hidden recesses of your own heart and just pray to God as if it's you and him alone. Don't pray that people can hear you. Don't do that, because that is not accepted of God. Christ, you see, will answer our private prayer openly. This is what Matthew 6, verse 5 and 6 states, is it not? You see, in verse number 6, the Bible said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Christ will do that. You might pray to God privately, And nobody would ever know about it. But you know when you pray to God, and you know when God answers that prayer. And for this, you can thank God that He has heard your prayer. When Christ answers a private prayer request, we will know that He has answered, and not that somebody who heard our request answered. This is the way it is. You see, there is a difference between private praying, which is always to God alone, and praying when men hear us. There is also a difference between private fasting and public fasting. Try it for yourself, and you will understand the difference. Pray privately to God alone, and do not tell anybody what you have prayed about. Then wait, and see if God hears your prayer. If God hears your private prayer, He will openly reward you. That is exactly what the Bible says. Fast privately to God alone, and do not tell anybody you're fasting. And wait and see if God rewards you openly. Notice here how Christ links properly doing alms and properly praying and properly fasting all together. Matthew 6, verse 4, speaking about property giving to the poor, states, "And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." Matthew 6 and verse number 6, speaking about proper praying, says, "And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." The latter part of Matthew 6, verse number 18, where Christ is preaching about proper fasting, states, "And the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." So that's the same thing. Just read it in your Bible, and you will understand that Christ is linking all of these three aspects together. They're not separate. God wants us, as people of God, to be dedicated to only Him, not to those folks around us. I know we affect folks around us. I know all of that. But God wants us to be dedicated to doing only what He wants us to do. And He has given to us these three examples of how that He can take care of us, and He hears our private prayers and rewards us openly about all those things. What Christ wants us to do is to understand that God sees everything we do, even if we do it in secret. If men do not see what we do, that is okay, because God sees everything we do. God sees both the good and the bad. God sees the spiritual and the non-spiritual. God sees the way we praise Him and the way we curse Him. Nothing is hidden from God. Understand that He sees everything. Nothing is hidden from Him at all. God looks on the heart, not on the outward things that we do. If you are famous, God sees and knows everything you do. But He knows, if you're famous, the things that you want to do. God sees your heart. That's what counts. If you are a very private person, God sees and knows everything you do as well. God looks on the heart. And God sees and understands where you're coming from. God sees and understands where you're going. God knows about that. God wants you to fully trust Him and nothing else. I'm glad that this is the kind of God that we serve. He is a wonderful God. He's a marvelous God. I'm glad that He is a God that we can go to with our earnest prayers and petitions privately. God will openly reward us with all those things. This is why Christ says to the people He is preaching to that fasting should be done in secret. He means not to make a great big deal out of fasting, like the Pharisees did. Christ sees everything we do, even the hidden things we think. Christ knows when we pray, and He also answers the prayer of the Son of God, who is totally dependent upon Him for an answer. Christ is able to answer our earnest prayers to Him. Listen, when God understands the desire of our heart to be what He wants us to be, that is much more important than people knowing our prayer. Let me say that again. When God knows the desire of our heart, that is much more important than people just knowing what we pray for. You see, when God knows the desire of your heart, He can answer that. And He can bless you in ways that are unbeknown to you at the present time. God can take care of any difficulty we face, while people cannot. God can do that. Christ wants His people to be true to Him, to His eternal kingdom, not to the things of this world. The things of this world will pass away. The things of heaven, the things of eternity, will only go richer and stronger as we get older and as we get closer and closer to being in heaven with the Lord. Christ wants us to understand that He can take care of whatever difficulty we face. It'll make a difference what it is. It'll make a difference how big it is. God can take care of it. He gives us those various difficulties so we will bring them to Him in earnest prayer. He wants to show us how much He loves us by taking care of us, by understanding each and everything we face. God wants us to understand how much that He cares for us. That is the reason that a lot of times we have difficulties. We have a lot of trials. We have a lot of troubles. We face a lot of things. Because God really wants to show us how much that He cares for us. God can give us an answer to any difficulty we face. Any difficulty at all. It'll make a difference what it is. God knows exactly what you're facing. And God is well able to bless. But what God wants from us, God wants us to be fully, totally, completely dedicated to His will. Whatever His will is. This is why that I read to you the story of Hezekiah and the Syrian army that invaded his country. This is why I read that in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 19. To show that God does care. That God does know. But what God wants for us more than anything else is for us to be willing to listen to Him and to just follow whatever He wants to do. Because He is the boss. We are not. God is the one that we need to listen to. Don't listen to people. Listen to God. God will never, ever lead you wrong.
Well, thank you, Brother Wayne, for that message. We really appreciate that. You know, as I think back over the messages over the last few weeks, it really seems like both prayer and fasting have one main thought, or one of the main thoughts, I should say, is that it is something between us and God. Both of these things, they can turn into just simple public displays or a means for getting attention, but as Pastor Reynolds pointed out so well this morning, these are things that are meant to be between us as individuals and God. And so, Brother Wayne, we do thank you again for sharing this series about prayer and fasting from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Now, as we come down to the close of our time this morning, we do want to invite you to services here at Independence Baptist Church. The invitation, of course, is for each and every Sunday, which starts with a Sunday school lesson at 10 a.m., followed by worship services at 11, prayer meeting at 3:45, and then evening worship services at 4:30. Now, in addition to this, we also want to take one last opportunity to remind you of our special services, which will be taking place November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. That's a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, those services will start with evening services on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Then on Thursday and Friday, we're going to have services at 10 a.m. and then again at 7 p.m. And I'm hoping that some of those times will work out for your schedule, and we'll be able to see you there sometime November 2nd, 3rd, or 4th. Well, we do want to thank you again for listening this morning, and be sure and tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.